This is Viewpoint with attorney and author Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is a one-hour open line talk show confronting the issues of America's heart and home. To express your viewpoint, please call 804-754-1988. That's 804-754-1988. And now with today's edition of Viewpoint, here is Chuck Crismeyer.
Parents are warned of a new sex trend. A study says that more than half of all teens have had oral sex. A battle is brewing as porn moves into the mainstream. An American Bible publisher has refused to print Bibles with a porn picture and reference on the front cover. What's going on? That's the question that one of our listeners emailed me just a couple of days ago. Why all this stuff now? What's going on? Why is it that America's school teachers, and particularly women teachers, are being arrested all over the country, one right after the other, with disclosures of having raped their students? Male students have had illicit sexual relationships. One teacher had relationships with a student 28 times during 1 week. What do you make of it? Why is this happening, and why now? We want to talk about all that here today on Viewpoint. I'm Chuck Crismeyer. It's Conversation with Ever-Increasing Conviction, talk that transforms. And yes, over the past 2 months or so, we've done a series of programs dealing with the subject of the matter of American sexuality, particularly within the church, what's happening. In fact, our latest newsletter that came out just last month, called Jesus versus Jezebel, The Sexual Seduction of America, Welcome to America's Sexual Orgy. I appreciate so much the wonderful response that we've had from our readers and listeners all across the country that have received this newsletter. We really have not had a single negative response, and people have said, wow, you have really done it this time. You have really gotten to the heart of what's going on. Thank you so much for dealing with it. Thank you for being willing to call it for what it really is, even in God's own house. Christianity Today said sex beyond the bounds of true biblical marriage is embodied apostasy. So we asked the question in the newsletter, has the American church become a brothel? Well, it depends on how you look at it, but the statistics are seeming to indicate that it very well may be true. A Portrait of Christian Marriage indicates by 1996, divorce in the church was 4% higher than the national average. By 1997, divorce in the Bible Belt was 50% higher than the national average and still is. By the year 2000, divorce among pastors equaled their parishioners and was the second highest of all professions. And by 2005, both the Church of England and Assemblies of God overturned historic doctrinal convictions to conform to Jezebel's cultural mandate permitting pastors and parishioners to divorce and remarry even if their spouses are living, even though the Lord of the church specifically called it adultery. So, cohabitation has increased 72% from 1990 to 2000, the greatest increase within the Bible Belt. Two-thirds of Christian singles admit they are not virgins. 61% of the students who sign sexual abstinence cards that true love waits admit breaking their pledge. And of the remaining 39% who say they kept their pledge, 55% had oral sex and didn't consider it to be sex. No wonder, because that once president of the United States stood before all America on film and said, I did not have sex with that woman in the Oval Office when they were engaged in, well, oral sex. Oral sex. And yet, our young people don't consider it sex, and neither did the President of the United States. Maybe it's because he has a very complex dictionary, the same one many of us are reading from, and a Bible that's so obtuse that we can't quite understand it, and so he's struggling over the meaning of the word is. It depends on what the meaning of the word is, said the President of the United States, and many of us are struggling over the meaning of the word is as well in God's own house when Jesus said that to divorce your spouse and remarry when your spouse is still living is adultery. You see, from pulpit to pew, we're saying we don't understand what the meaning of the word is. Well, let me tell you. I will give you a very simple little clue. The word is called a verb of being. If you went to your English class and you studied that in high school and in college, you would know that the word is a linking verb. It's a verb of being that says that one thing is the same as another. So when Jesus says that if you divorce your spouse and marry another, you're committing adultery. And if you're divorcing your spouse, you're causing them to commit adultery. You see, then one thing is the same as the other. To divorce and remarry is the same as adultery. It doesn't get very much simpler than that. Why do I put such emphasis on that? Because somehow we in the church house just don't get it. We don't want to get it. We're wearing religious fig leaves to hide from the truth of God's own word. And yet we can see it with our school teachers. We think they're pagans out there that are fornicating and frolicking with our students. And we don't get it that we're doing exactly the same thing in God's own house. Fornicating and frolicking and adulterizing, it's no wonder that we are in deep, deep trouble. And by the way, sexual promiscuity destroyed Rome from the inside out. It destroyed Israel's liberty and brought her under God's judgment. And guess what it's doing to us today? And guess what? Just as we're seeing sexual promiscuity come to unprecedented proportions in the good old U.S. of A., Israel is following rapidly in our jet stream. We'll take a look and see how that's happening here today on Viewpoint, but here's just a preliminary clue. The chief rabbi in Israel just about 2 or 3 years ago in the Jerusalem Post indicated that the divorce rate in Israel was about 30%. He said, we're rapidly following in America's jet stream. Oh, we're setting the tone. We're setting the example. We're making Israel jealous, just as the Bible said. Of course, we weren't supposed to make Israel jealous over our sexual promiscuity, but that's what we're doing. She's emulating us. And what a burden we will bear for that, won't we? You're listening to Viewpoint. Our viewpoint on sex is determining destiny. Will we share God's viewpoint or continue to rebel with our own viewpoints? All of that here today on Viewpoint. This broadcast desk is literally covered with articles and news and items concerning this subject. It's just absolutely incredible. And what of presidential candidates from both parties now? Leading presidential candidates from both parties supporting homosexual marriage? Where are we going anywhere? We'll be right back. It's dialogue that demands our decision right here on Viewpoint. I'm so glad that you've joined us. The DHS Department of Homeland Security press secretary has been arrested on child seduction charges. A deputy press secretary for the U.S. Department of Homeland Security was charged with using a computer to seduce a child after authorities said he struck up sexual conversations with an undercover detective posing as a 14-year-old girl. Brian Doyle, age 55, the fourth-ranking official in the department's public affairs office, was expected to appear in court today and to be placed on administrative leave. Friends, this problem is everywhere. We have become sexual fiends in this country. We are unrestrained from the church house to the White House. very likely, including your house, the schoolhouse, this matter is pervasive. And just as it was in ancient Sodom and Gomorrah, so it is in modern America. And we're spreading this now around the world. We are the leading edge of porn distribution and sexual promiscuity worldwide. We're normalizing it in the name of Christ across the country. It is utterly bizarre beyond words, and we're justifying it. That's what's so amazing. You know, my information basket is just filled day after day with this stuff, and I have to be selective to know just what to bring before you, and have to have a reason for doing it, because we don't want to just present a bunch of salacious materials here to tickle your ears. We present enough to get your attention so that you can realize how serious this really is. A school teacher, 34 years old, from Delaware, has been charged with having sexual relationship with a 13-year-old student. This teacher, a science teacher, allegedly had sex with the boy 28 times during 1 week last month. She's being held in lieu of $560,000 bail. Police say the alleged incidents happened March 31st, at the woman's home, and that a 12-year-old classmate observed at least one of the alleged incidents. And there are dozens, if not hundreds, of these now pouring out across the land. And you know, have you noticed that the primary focus is not on men, but on women connecting these acts? That's why, and it's connecting with the other statistics that are showing us that it's young women who are taking the lead in sexual promiscuity now. Young women are kicking over the traces of truth and moral conviction, and have now taken the lead from men in sexual promiscuity. Go figure. It's astounding. This matter of sexual promiscuity is so contagious that it's like wildfire. And that's why the Apostle Paul warned us in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Here was a church that saw itself as the most spiritual church in the New Testament. These people really had it together. These people had all the spiritual gifts operating, gifts of prophecy and tongues, and they had it all. Gifts of knowledge and wisdom, all of the wonderful gifts you'll find listed in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. But they also had something that was not a gift, and that was massive sexual promiscuity. They perpetuated it, coming out of their pagan activities and roots, and they persisted in this practice, so much so that the Apostle Paul said, look, you cannot allow someone who persists in any of these sexual practices, contrary to the word, to continue in your congregation. You can't do it, because a little leaven will leaven the whole lump. So if you or your pastor or your elders or something in your congregation are playing fussy with sex in God's house, and think that by continuing to allow people who are adulterizing, who are divorcing their spouses and remarrying others when their spouse is still living, and coming and purporting to enjoy fellowship in your congregation and to obtain membership in your congregation, you can't do it. You're in fundamental disagreement with what God has said. You may think it's merciful. You may think it's loving. You may think you're so forgiving and kind. But you are contrary to what the Bible says, both what Jesus said and the Apostle Paul. Paul said that a little leaven will leaven the whole lump, and you cannot allow an unrepentant person who is engaging in sexual misconduct to continue in fellowship in your congregation. He said you must remove them immediately from the congregation if they will not repent. Now, repent does not mean just to admit that you did something wrong. It means to turn from it. It means you have to turn from your wicked, evil way. Now, you may not think it's wicked or evil to remarry, since 40% of America's professing Christians are divorced, and many of those have remarried even when their spouses still live. But see, we've just adopted another standard, not God's standard, but the culture's standard. And we have decided, rather than to submit to God, to submit to the culture. Now, the Apostle Paul said, you see, that we should submit to God and resist the devil. But we decided we could just try to resist the devil without submitting to God. You can't do it. The devil will always win. And the devil is in the details. So we need to come clean on this issue. I know I talk about it a great deal because this is the fulcrum issue of our time in God's house. We will never clean up the White House or the schoolhouse or the courthouse until we clean up God's house. And this is the issue we must start on, because this is the one issue that we have decided virtually to a pastor and their people across this land. There are very few exceptions. We have decided to rebel against God collectively on this issue, much like the people of the Tower of Babel. We think that if we just get the majority together to decide against what God has said, that it's going to change what God has said. We are in for a rude awakening, friends, and it may cost you the promised land, unless you repent. Here's what the Apostle Paul said. Are you ready for this? You'll find it in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and then in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, where he's talking about this subject. He says, don't be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor practicing homosexuals, will inherit the kingdom of heaven. It doesn't get clearer than that. Unless you repent, unless you confess your sin, not mistakes, these are not mistakes, they're sin. That is, we're in violation of the word and will and ways of a holy God. And unless we turn from it, confess it, and turn from it, we're not going to inherit the kingdom. I don't care how many times you confess the name of Christ, you're not going to inherit the kingdom. The very same Apostle Paul that many think and maintain gives you a free ticket to the pearly gates by merely confessing Christ and you're in no matter what you do or say, says, don't be deceived. Neither adulterers, nor fornicators, nor practicing homosexuals, nor people who persist in anger and bitterness and all these other things are going to inherit the kingdom. We need to start taking some of these things seriously, don't we? Now, I'm not saying this to bring fear into your heart other than the fear of God. This is the reason why the Apostle Paul said, for this reason, we preach these things because of the terror of the Lord. Now, Paul said that because of the terror of the Lord. Why did he say that? Because when it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a God who has said one thing contrary to what we say. God will not be mocked, friends. We must come to grips with this issue. It's going to be painful. There is going to be a hue and cry go up across America, starting in our churches and in our pulpits, because pastors have become complicit in this all across America. There's going to be a cry of great pain go up before we have spiritual gain in this country. We've got to make a decision, and we must do it quickly. So, let's go on with some of these trends. Parents warned of a new sex trend. Colleen Sweeney took her three sons out for an easy dinner. I remember sitting at the Subway restaurant, she said. She's a sex educator in the area, had spent the day arguing with teenagers she had never met about whether or not oral sex is sex. Before Sweeney knew it, she was having the same argument with her own children. When you talk to kids, she said, you can't convince them that oral sex is sex. It's frightful, 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 she said. Oral sex has become very casual, she said. A report published in September by the National Center for Health Statistics showed that 69% of males and 77% of females have had sexual intercourse before their 20th birthday. but 74% of both males and females have engaged in some form of oral sex during their teenage years. Most teens believe they can have oral sex and still consider themselves virgins if they had not yet had intercourse. They don't think it's sex. The fear among many health professionals is that teenagers are mistaking oral sex with safe sex, whatever that is. Although oral sex does eliminate the chance of pregnancy, it does not eliminate the chance of obtaining a passing sexually transmitted infection. In 2000, the Center for Disease Control and Prevention estimated there were nearly 19 million new cases of sexually transmitted infections, half of which occurred in people between the ages of 15 and 24. The direct medical cost of those diseases is estimated at $6.5 billion. There's an emotional disconnection with oral sex that's happening with our teenagers, said another. College student, oral sex occurs between teens even before phone numbers are exchanged, even if they're exchanged at all. Kids need to know that what their worth is and know that they do not need to compromise themselves, ever, said Ms. Sweeney. Many believe that President Clinton's affair with former White House intern Monica Lewinsky, while he was still in office during the 1990s, had a profound effect on how oral sex is now perceived by teens. The scandal led to Clinton's impeachment by the U.S. House. All these kids heard the President of the United States say, "I didn't have sexual relations with that woman." Now, you even have the highest-ranking person in the land saying that oral sex isn't sex. Do you think teenagers are going to listen to their parents or a first-year gym teacher after that, she says? Another report published by last summer by the American Academy of Pediatrics points to the role mass media plays in creating more casual sexual attitudes. The study states that children are exposed to more than 40,000 sexual images every year through various forms of media. Teens need to be educated, says one. The more they're educated, the better chance they'll have of making good decisions. I disagree fundamentally with that. It's not education that does it at all, except for one kind of education, and that's teaching them the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord only is the beginning of wisdom. Teaching them all the facts about it is not doing one shred to prevent sex. We'll talk more after this break. Becoming Christians That Count for the Kingdom, as we take a look at the matter of our sexual lives and behavior here in the good old U.S. of A. that professes to be a nation under God. We're no more under God than the man in the moon, my friends, and particularly as revealed by our sexual behavior both in and out of the church. It makes no difference. The sexual behavior in the church is almost identical to that in the world among pagans. And for that reason, God obviously is not happy with those who profess his name in this country. And judgment is going to begin at the house of God, and it could begin at your house if we don't get these things straightened out. So we don't hesitate to tell the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth here on Viewpoint. We let the chips fall where they may. It's not about being mean-spirited or hateful. It's about loving God enough to tell the truth. It's also about loving people enough to tell the truth when their eternal destinies are at stake and when their well-being is at stake during this life, when their families are at stake, when their health is at stake. There's much at stake, both temporal and eternal. And that's why we dare to tell the truth even when it hurts. Even when it hurts. Even if it makes you angry. A man called me last week, and he wanted to have counseling. He wanted to talk. But he began the conversation by saying that he had been angry with me. Very, very angry. I said, "Why is that?" He said, "Well, it's because you've talked about marriage and divorce and remarriage and what the Bible says, and you caught me right in my own juices. That's exactly where I am, and you said things that were very painful and things that really stirred up a hornet's nest in my own mind and heart." He said, I've been dealing with it now for months. But he said, I've finally decided that what you're telling me is true. And I need to deal with it. And I need help. Now, I want to commend that man. You see, that's how the Word of God is designed to work. The Word of God is a tool. It's a sword. It's a sharp sword. And in fact, it's sharper than a two-edged sword, the Bible says. And it discerns, it pierces to the deepest recesses of our minds and hearts and can discern even the thoughts and the intents of our heart. That's what the Bible's designed to do. And if we teach it right and we preach it right and we apply it correctly, it's going to cause us to wince. It's going to do fine surgery on us. That's what it's supposed to do. And surgery is painful. But the end result is that it restores health and it gives us hope. And that's why we do it. And so you can understand then why we do what we do, why we say what we say. It's because I love you enough to give you hope. I love you enough to allow you the possibility of temporal and eternal healing and restoration. You know, it's painful to talk about these things when you know that so many people are caught in the juggernaut of this trap. And have been into it now for umpteen years. We've been in this, our whole country, the whole church has been wrapped into this for 40 years now, since the sexual revolution of the 60s, 1960s. I don't blame people. This is not a blame game. This is not a finger-pointing exercise. This is not people who live in glass houses shouldn't throw stones kind of a thing. This is, hey, we're all in this thing together. We are in deep spiritual doo-doo, my friends. Do you realize that? We are in up to our necks and beyond. And we have to get this right. Our eternal destiny is on the line. There's just no other way to look at it. If we're honest. You can hide, you can run, you can put on as many fig leaves as you can. But you're still banished from the presence of God until we come into alignment with what He has said. That's what got Adam and Eve in trouble, isn't it? God said, don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But Satan, coming in as an angel of light, said, hey, you can do that. It's okay. Yeah, God said that, but you got to understand what He means. He means you're going to be like Him, and you're going to know good and evil. And so they ate of it. They decided to elevate their viewpoint over God's viewpoint. God had made it so simple for them. He said, you can eat of all the trees. You can have sex with your married partner, your truly married partner. You can have sex there. You can enjoy sex. I've created it. But you can't have sex outside of that marriage. One woman, one man for life. You can't do it outside of that. Because in the day you do, you're going to surely die. But we say, yes, but. Just like Adam and Eve. And it cost them the garden. And it also cost them the presence of God. And they were ashamed. You know what Jeremiah said of Israel and Judah when they were doing the same thing as we are today in America? He said, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. They got to the point where they were flashing their sexual illegitimacy in the face of God Himself. Didn't even care anymore. And we've gotten to that place too. From pulpit to pew, we're arrogating our viewpoints collectively in one en masse rebellion against God. And it's not just the pagan culture. It's the church that's driving this thing. That's the engine that's giving it legitimacy. Now, if you're caught in it, I want to give you some hope. And there's a whole lot more I have to share with you here. But there's such a passion in my heart, friends, because we're running out of time. God is not short concerning His promise about the second coming, but He's not willing that any should perish and that all should come to repentance. He's giving us an opportunity to repent. Women, if your husband has got some sexual problems and you're looking to find some healing for betrayal of sexual addiction, I want to make available a book called My Husband Has a Secret. Your gift of $13 or more to Save America Ministries will put it in your hands. Call us 1-800-SAVE-USA. Men or women, if your spouse is having a problem with sex on the internet and you need help, I want to make available to you a book called Your Marriage and the Internet. Your gift of $13 or more to Save America Ministries will put it in your hands. Call us 1-800-SAVE-USA. If God is not in your marriage the way you want Him to be, I want to make available to you a wonderful book called Is God in Your Marriage? Your gift of $10 or more to Save America Ministries will put it in your hands. Call us 1-800-SAVE-USA. If you need sexual healing in your marriage and there's a lot of brokenness from sexual sin and so on, maybe for generations, and you need help, I want to put a wonderful hardback book called Sexual Healing in your hands. Your gift of $20 or more to Save America Ministries. Call us 1-800-SAVE-USA. I want to urge you to get a copy of the tape of this program or a CD of this program. Your gift of $7 or more to Save America Ministries will put it in your hands. Call us 1-800-SAVE-USA. I want to urge you to go to our website, saveus.org, where you can find a series of fact sheets there that will lay this thing out in clarity that you cannot believe. The illegitimate state of the union, the sexual seduction of the union, the state of ministry, marriage, and morals, and so on. A portrait of the black family, all of these right there on our website, saveus.org. You can print them out. You can pass them out to your Sunday school class. Give them to your pastor. We've got to get this out, friends, and we've got to do something about it. I want to urge you to become a partner with us in this venture. Day after day, we come before you, pleading the cause of a lifetime to a jury of my peers, the American people, but particularly God's people, professing His name in this country. This is the ultimate patriotic act, is to plea God's final and ultimate cause to His people in a nation that professes to be under God, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear because of the rebellion in our ranks. Would you become a partner and send your gifts by faith to Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia 23255? I would appreciate it. God will bless you for it. And when we get back in the final segment of the program, we're going to look at how porn has moved mainstream, a Bible publisher being asked to publish Bibles with pornographic references on the front. You got to be kidding me. We'll be right back. But I'm ready now, I'm waiting for your triumphant return. You're coming soon. So people get ready, Jesus is coming soon. We'll be going home. People get ready, Jesus is coming to take from the world as a whole. People get Welcome back to Viewpoint. I'm Chuck Chrismeyer. Don't you just love the recent biennial sex week at Yale? As much of pre-college sex ed consists of rationalization and how-to, so sex-themed weeks at some of the nation's colleges consist primarily of porn, sanctioned by school administrations and often financed directly or indirectly, yep, by mom and dad. Porn, or so-called adult, is everywhere, generating big bucks. For example, Vivid Entertainment of Los Angeles began in 1984 with a $20,000 loan and now claims annual revenues of $100 million. Vivid makes about 60 skin flicks a year, releases 30 skin discs a month. It licenses the Vivid name for vodka, video games, a Vegas nightclub, virility enhancement stuff, X-rated comic books, and custom car wheels. It partners with cable systems owned by Comcast, Time Warner, DirecTV, and hotel networks. According to a Vivid executive, adult or porn is almost too good to be true. No wonder it's going mainstream, and a battle is brewing as porn moves into the mainstream. Their product is available on cell phones, podcasts, and particularly the internet. There it's an attraction like no other, patronized by tens of millions of Americans. It's pornography. According to one gentleman, John Harmer, a Utah-based auto executive and former politician who's been fighting porn for 40 years, he said it's the most profitable industry in the entire world. The activist adversary is a sprawling industry that by some counts offers more than 4 million porn sites on the internet that in the United States alone is estimated to be worth $12 billion a year. Listen to this. About 40% of internet users in the United States visit adult sites each month. Now, you say, how terrible. That is absolutely terrible. Well, it is absolutely terrible. But guess what that 40% is made of? Are you ready for this? 40% of professing Christian women admit to intentionally seeking porn on the internet. 60 to 70% of professing Christian men admit to intentionally seeking porn on the internet. 38% of America's pastors admit to a problem with internet porn. Now do you see why we have a problem and why porn has moved mainstream? How does a pastor or an elder of a congregation or a Sunday school teacher or a Christian woman who has teenage children, how do these people have the moral integrity to look their children or constituencies, their parishioners in the eye, and teach about sexual misconduct, porn, illegitimacy, adultery, fornication, any of these things? How do they do it? They don't. They don't have the moral integrity to do it, and so they don't. They don't. And that's why we have such a problem. We're not being taught about this from our pastors. There's just no moral authority. And the other pastors who are not engaged in it are afraid of offending those who are. So they won't talk about it either. It's a conspiracy of silence on the authority of God's word. A conspiracy to do an end run around what God has said. Speaking about what God has said, are you ready for this? The American Bible Society is refusing to print New Testaments with covers that say, Jesus loves porn stars. Now, why would somebody want to print a Bible that says Jesus loves porn stars? Well, two California seeker-sensitive pastors whose anti-porn ministry called XXXChurch.com had ordered 10,000 copies of the custom Bibles to hand out at adult film conventions. But the edgy cover led the publisher to cancel the paid order. The American Bible Society said that while it appreciates the pastor's mission, the words Jesus loved porn stars are misleading and inappropriate for a New Testament, and I agree 1,000%. These pastors are totally out of line. You cannot make God's clear word and hatred of sin sinner-friendly. It's not sinner-friendly, friends. God hates sin. He hates it. And he says, if you don't hate it, you don't have his heart. It's right there in the Bible. We can't cozy up to sin, even using God's word to do it. It's just another religious fig leaf that we're using to hide from God's presence while purporting to do his work. You can't do it, friends. You can't play with fire and not get burned. God's word will stand on its own for anyone who wants to hear it. If your heart's not ready to hear it, putting Jesus loves porn stars on the cover ain't going to make one hill of beans worth a difference. You can't lure them in the way they lure you in with sex. Can't do it. It doesn't work that way. No man comes to the Father but the Holy Spirit draw him. The Holy Spirit doesn't draw through using porn to fight porn, using the porn name on the cover of the Bible to induce people in. Come on, give me a break. How far do we have to go? How far down are we going to go as we define deviancy down? Well, there's a sharp rise in sex offenses by minors. In the Jerusalem Post, it's Israel. More minors than ever were involved in sexual assaults in 2005, and reports of group rapes and incest rose by 30%. The report pointed to a 26% rise in sexual assaults committed by minors under the age of 12, while an even greater rise in sexual assaults was recorded by the 13 through 18 group. In most cases, the report, the victim is attacked by an acquaintance or family member. 1 in 6 girls and 1 in 10 boys experience incestual attacks over prolonged periods of time during their childhoods. Friends, Israel is mimicking America now. Date rape drugs on the rise in Israel. The Association of Rape Crisis Centers slammed nightclub owners as those primarily responsible for the growing number of drug-induced rapes. The comments came 5 days after police discovered 13 bottles of alcohol contaminated with the date rape drug GHB in the possession of Tel Aviv nightclub owner Pinhas Haim. The notion of the rape drug in Israel was only realized about a year and a half ago. They were so innocent in their thinking they didn't even know about this. We suddenly started seeing women at the clinic who appeared to have been raped but couldn't remember how or when it happened. These drugs decreased the willpower of women and caused amnesia. The injustice here is not just the rape, but that the women can't even testify to what has happened to her. This drug is already well known in Europe and the U.S. We're exporting it. In the name of Christ, we're exporting it. And then, abstinence education banned in Rhode Island. Education Commissioner Peter McWalters issued a directive forbidding schools in the state to use abstinence programs or materials. The official ban declares that abstinence programs violate student rights, contain sexist stereotypes, and marginalize homosexual teens. The president of Advocates for Youth, James Wagoner, claims that abstinence programs are bad science as well as bad policy. A blatant violation of medical ethics and basic human rights, he said, calling federal funding for abstinence programs a national scandal. Wagoner asked Congress for an immediate moratorium on spending for the abstinence programs. Do you see the conspiracy? The nation is in an absolute outrageous Sodom and Gomorrah rebellion against God's standards. One has to wonder what motivates these two men and where they've been over the past 20 years when the results of teen sexual activity have so negatively affected teens' futures. If they cared so deeply about teenagers, could it be that they haven't noticed the results of teen sexual activity? High pregnancy rates, skyrocketing rates of sexually transmitted disease, the dramatic rise in teen depression and suicides. I'd like to remind the two education experts that every year another 15 million young people are infected with STDs. More than one-third of all American babies are born out of wedlock, and the percentage continues to rise every year. 45 million abortions are the legacy of the so-called free love. 20% of AIDS cases are among college-age young people. There are now more than 24 incurable STDs, and the fastest-spreading one, HPV, which can cause cervical cancer that kills over 5,000 women a year. Do they realize that having three or more sexual partners in a lifetime increases the odds of cervical cancer by 15 times, that sexual activity in high school can be a life or death matter? And then comes this. A Christian education group now is caving in to homosexuality's go along to get along. How could a group of genuine Christian believers sit down at the table with the organization GLSEN, Gay, Lesbian, and Straight Education Network? You cannot negotiate with open, notorious sin, my friends. It's one thing to love the sinner. It's another thing to pussyfoot around with his sin. You cannot play with fire and not be burned. But apparently, some presidential candidate material, or at least they think they are, think they can do it. We all know who the leading Democratic candidate for president is, Hillary Clinton. She supports homosexuality. But do you know who the leading Republican candidate is at this moment? By some reckoning, it's Rudy Giuliani. Giuliani positions on homosexuality and abortion. It appears Giuliani is aware of this weakness and is attempting to hoodwink American evangelicals the same way Bill Clinton did. As Andrew Sullivan put it, and he is, to my remembrance, a avowed homosexual, put it, if Rudy is talking Jesus, he's going to run. And boy, is he ever talking the talk. Is America really ready for a drag queen president? I'm looking at a picture of Rudy Giuliani right now in drag. Should we expect the grand old party to become the gay old party in 2008 and put its stamp of approval on a guy 100% committed to the homosexual activist agenda? Friends, we are so interested in the place of a place at the table of political power, we would sell our souls for it, wouldn't we? Well, I hope not. But we're in danger of doing that. Thanks for joining us here on Viewpoint. We're telling the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help me, God. And I trust that it will stir in your hearts to help us to become the people that God wants us to be and become. You want to get a copy of our newsletter, Jesus versus Jezebel? Call us 1-800-SAVE-USA or go to our website, saveus.org. Become a partner. Send your gifts by faith to Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. God bless you, and let's be pure in heart and in our ways.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Chrismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host and guests and are not necessarily those of the